call the Illinois State Tollway Highway Authority Audit Committee meeting to order for September 13, 2012. Roll call, please.
Committee Chair Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Wiseman.
Mm-hmm.
Chair Wolf.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Did we hear, or is it on mute or anything?
Mute, but he couldn't hear us talking, but we
didn't hear him. Hello, Director Wiseman.
I talked to him earlier. He'll call in later. When he calls, do we need to have a special motion then to allow him to participate?
Okay. Quorum has been established. Going to item three on the agenda, I need a motion to approve the minutes from the audit committee for the meeting held on March 22nd, 2012.
I'll move them.
Motion's been made. I'll second it. Roll call. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Item number two, do we have any additional items? No additional items on the agenda. Going to item number four for the audit. Item number one, we have our CFO who will give us a presentation for the review of our 2011 GAAP financial statements this time.
We've already called the roll. Chair Quorum is physically present, but in addition, Director Wiseman would like to attend the meeting by phone. He is prevented from physically attending because of an employment matter, which is one of the approved reasons for such participation.
At this time, I'd like to take a motion to allow Director Wiseman to join in the audit committee via phone.
I'll move that.
Motion has been made. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Welcome, Director.
I'm eternally grateful.
I hope you'll feel that way at the end of the meeting.
All right, thank you.
Director Wiseman, just so you know, at this time, our CFO is going over the presentation reviewing our 2011 GAAP financial statements.
Okay.
Typically, or in past years, our controller would give this presentation, Leslie Sivikas. Just so you know, Leslie is retiring September 30th, mm-hmm. and she's taking a week off on vacation. I want to make sure to let you know that, and obviously thank her for all the work that her and her staff do every year, working with the external auditors on preparing the financial statements. But I'll do my best to get us through this. For 2011, okay. I think I'm having trouble.
Well, there you go.
2011, the summary of financial results. Overall operating revenues did increase 4% in 2011. This should be familiar to you in the sense that we have gone through the unaudited trust indenture financial statements, and the operating revenues, quite frankly, are very similar under trust than they are under the audited GAAP-based financial statements. Total revenue of $698 million. Of course, most of that is tolls or toll evasion recovery expenses. Operating expenses, excluding depreciation, declined in line with our lower operating budget for 2011. If you recall, for 2011, we reduced the operating budget from 2010, and in fact, operating expenses did decline by $11 million, primarily due to some vacant positions and reduced personnel costs. Workers' compensation costs were less in 2011 than in 2010. Financing costs were higher by about $9 million in 2011, and that's largely the result of increased costs of bank liquidity agreements, the standby agreements that we have
for our variable rate bond issues to purchase bonds in the event that they cannot be remarketed on a weekly basis. Those costs increased because we restructured those agreements to have a larger number, a more diversified portfolio of agreements, but also because generally the costs of these liquidity agreements increased after the financial crisis of 2008. In total, you'll see as we go through the materials that net assets decreased $71 million. In other words, the assets less liabilities on the balance sheet will decrease $71 million. This was not unanticipated. We expected that to occur this year, actually a slightly larger decrease. But we still have a healthy balance sheet with $1.8 billion of net assets. And of course, with the change in toll rates, that's a trend that we expect to reverse in 2012. The tollways financial statements, audited financial statements, are prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. The basis of accounting is different than that used for the quarterly budget to actual presentations and for the budget presentation that we do each year. Under the Toll Highway Act and under the terms of our trust indenture, there are certain treatments of certain financial treatments that differ from GAAP under trust indenture. One of those is that fixed assets or investments in fixed assets are expensed under trust. There are certain expenses that we pay for out of our renewal and replacement and improvement capital accounts that are included as operating expenses under GAAP, including payment for transponders. And recovery of expenses under GAAP is treated as revenue, and under trust, it's a reduction to the expense. So there are some modest differences. Overall, the revenue numbers, however, should look very familiar. As you can see, $698 million total operating revenue, about a 4% increase from 2010. Depreciation expense increased slightly as additional projects were brought online and depreciation of those assets began. Operating expenses, as we mentioned earlier, declined about 4%. And operating income increased from $81 million to $113 million in 2011. So while operating income increased, net non-operating expense increased as well, the net non-operating revenue non-operating revenue less non-operating expense went from $178 to $185 million. And as you can see, that's really in the area of interest and financing costs, which we discussed earlier. So the combination of operating income and net non-operating expense results in a change in net assets, or a reduction in net assets of $72 million. On the balance sheet, total assets increased slightly to $6.6 billion. However, there were a number of reclassifications this year that we made with respect to certain assets moving from current to long-term, pursuant to discussions we had with KPMG that were made that reflect the comparison tables between 2010 and 2011. Two of those of note are we moved $105 million of intergovernmental agreement receivables, primarily from the Department of Transportation, from the current category to the long-term category. And we also moved $202 million of debt service reserve funds that were previously classified as a current asset to a long-term. But in total, total assets, about $6.6 billion in each year. With respect to liabilities, total liabilities increased by about $100 million to $4.7 billion. Again, there was one reclassification from short, from current to long term. If you look up under the bonds payable, current portion, the amount of, in 2010, the bonds that were payable or due on January 1 of the following year was about $50 million. This year that amount was $53 million, but we're reflecting $176 million as the current portion of bonds payable because we have about $122 million of variable rate debt that are supported by a liquidity agreement that expires before the end of 2012. And in our conversations with KPMG, they thought that would be the appropriate treatment for that particular debt. Oops. In aggregate, you can see the net assets, as I mentioned earlier, declined from $1,922,000,000 to $1,851,000,000, decline of about $72 million. We had anticipated that reduction, forecast that. Actually, we'd forecast something slightly larger. Again, next year, we believe, with the increase in revenue associated with the toll rate increase, it's likely that we will see a reverse of that trend, so to speak. So I guess with that, I'll take any questions you might have.
And I think we would also see the net assets probably be decreasing just because of a non-cash flow, which would be probably depreciation.
That's true, and interest in financing.
One of the reasons that assets is decreasing. One of the things that I looked at that looks very healthy is that out of the $1.8 million in net assets, our unrestricted fund balance of $458 million increased $6 million from the previous year. And it's really what I like to look at is really the unrestricted fund balance of $458 million. It represents over 6 months of our normal operating expenses. So it shows that the tollway can meet 6 months of their normal operating expenses. And it shows a very healthy operation here when you have 6 months of your expenses covered in unrestricted fund balance. And that's to the credit of the administration. A good job, well done in terms of keeping an eye on that fund balance for us.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you
very much.
Next, we're going to go to item number two, a review of the 2011-2012 internal external audit activities. Mike?
Director Wisner, can you hear when people are at the podium? Could you hear Mike?
Yeah, I just actually switched to a landline, which is helping to...
Okay. Otherwise, we could get, if you wouldn't mind, if you stated a seat, maybe it'd be easier for the... Why don't you try the first slide? The second Mike will try the first slide, and if it doesn't work, he'll come back and sit next to you, Director Wisner.
Okay. And Director Wisner, maybe just step in if this isn't coming out clearly. The first slide, give a little debrief background on the year-to-date 2012 internal audit activities. We performed, with the assistance of all the departments in the tollway, retesting of the findings and immaterial findings in the first and second quarter of 2012 for the previous 12 months to allow the executive office to fill out the certification, the annual certification on the system of internal fiscal and administrative controls for the tollway. That was performed and completed prior to May 1st as its deadline. The internal audit team also worked on a consulting engagement for a reporting and tracking of aged inventory items for the tollway. And these are not, these are smaller dollar items, typical inventory items under 500 in value, most of them far under 500, like gaskets and oil filters. The reporting that the tollway management was reviewing on a monthly basis listed out items of inventory that had not had activity in 1, 2, and 5 year time spans. We work with IT and our fleet and warehousing departments to update that report. It's actually pulling slightly inaccurate information, and we also identified types of goods that were non-consumable tools, things of that nature, or non-obsolete, that would be removed from that report because they would actually be of service to the tollway and use to the tollway, and we wanted to get down to a point where we were dealing with items that we should strictly move off of and try to recuperate some type of cash for these items to the extent possible because they were no longer of use to the tollway. These items are being sold on iBid, and we have seen a decrease in these carrying values for these 1, 2, and 5 year totals since March of this year. We've also worked with various externally executed audit engagements, the external audit for 2011, financial statement audit, and compliance examination here were the main focus for our partnership with an external firm this year. Can you hear me well, Director Weisner?
Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay. The next slide covers off on a engagement that we're currently looking to issue as early as next week. We're performing a pre-implementation, as always, of a Kronos Absence Manager to track Family Medical Leave Act hours and time off. This is an upgrade to the Kronos timekeeping system. Tollway, of course, uses Kronos to track hours and to interface with our MAR system for payroll calculation. So anytime there is a system upgrade of this nature, we are sensitive to that. And the internal audit group performed a pre-implementation review and identified a couple of areas where, in a new environment where you have Family Medical Leave Act information, we suggested updates to access rights. There were a few users that had super user access right that need to be modified before this implementation takes place, as well as testing of new features to ensure that the interface from Kronos to MAR flows seamlessly, the hours come through, all the data comes through properly, and finally that there is proper training for the end users, timekeepers on these systems. And this is a moving target because we're working with a Kronos support system as well to provide this training. But as of this point, we do feel comfortable that the IT and benefits departments involved have a full grasp of where things just need to be kind of tightened up here at the end here, and then push forward with this implementation. We've also worked on a number of vendor financial and compliance performance engagements this year. These have stemmed from various sources, departmental requests, the external audit itself, verification of billings on different contracts, and then testing from vendors on different contract performance, compliance performance measures, and then also performance with the actual requirements within contracts and RFPs. As I mentioned earlier, our main external partner this year or customer this year was the external audit engagement. The internal audit department worked mostly with the auditors on the compliance examination testing. We also worked in partnership with finance and the departments once potential audit findings were identified to work with those departments to get an understanding for what caused these items, document these cause statements, and ultimately to work with the departments to provide a final tollway response once an item appeared on the final report. Speaking of the items, these next couple of slides deal with the findings from the 2011 financial statement audit and compliance examination. You'll see up top here 75% of findings could be resolved by an ERP system. Much of what we'll go over here, I'll mention up first, but as you'll see on the slide, if an ERP system will address this. The timeline roughly is that an RFI will be completed by the end of October, and an RFP by the end of 2012 for a PMO to run this ERP's implementation, and ultimately the ERP to be fully rolled out. Estimate now is the completion is by the end of 2016. But in the interim, we do have steps in place for these findings to address them to the best extent possible with manual workarounds and resources as they exist. So financial systems reporting, the audit found that there was a much manual time and effort applied to the financial reporting process, reporting both in GAAP and in the trust and indenture format of these statements. And a lot of this could be could be automated and eased and improved along with certain access, journal entry rights, reviews, things of that nature, built-in controls, improved with an ERP system implementation. Not that the financial statements were misreported or reported in error, but that the process is very manual at this point. For information security controls, a number of areas were identified in user access, just reviewing on at least an annual basis that all users to different IT systems have the correct level of access. And IT is working with the chiefs from the various departments and will perform a yearly verification of all this information for their employees as of their current state. And also we've rolled out, or IT has rolled out, a security awareness program this past week as a pilot to IT, and in full-fledged, I believe, in the upcoming weeks. Both of these items will be completed by November of 2012. The next two items on here, reimburse expenditures and recording period-end payables. One item deals with lacking source documentation for reimbursement of expenses. The tollway will perform a random quarterly review on the source data to ensure that there's full documented support and source for these reimbursed expenditures. As far as reporting period end payables and the testing, there were a couple of accruals placed in a wrong period between 2010 and 2012 with the 2011 data. And based on this, again, this is definitely an area where an ERP system would assist greatly in performing properly, timely, accurate reporting of these accruals. If you have any questions as I go, please stop me. RFP, the next item, RFP scoring comments. The item on here, comments as far as action plan comments now required on total score. Prior to this audit, the scoring for RFPs or professional services was not did not capture documentation on a criterion by criterion level of detail. The process for the tollway, the new process that effective August of this year and going forward, is that the final score, and these scores are built upon criterion established within the actual RFPs, that the final scores be supported by thorough comments. And in that way, there's added verbiage of why a final determination was arrived at from summation of all the scored criteria. The RFP signature, evaluation signatures in the past, the tollway had not required that RFP selection committee members sign off on their evaluation sheets. That signature requirement is now being enforced, again, as effective August 2012 and going forward. For review of vendor invoice support, one of the eight, I believe, contracts that were reviewed from the external audit found a discrepancy in unsupported hours billed versus what was paid by the tollway. The process has improved for 2012, effective with the January billing and a monthly billing contract. Hours have been verified from the timesheets that support them to the actual billing process. Accounts receivable balance reporting dealt with, or this finding dealt with, incorrect information, and I believe Mike Kelsch, it was the timing of the aging of the accrual process that was in question here and led to inaccurate in reporting to the comptroller on a quarterly basis. This process was addressed at the beginning of 2012. The last three items from the audit, the SPO written determination form, the written determination, the final written determination from the SPO on a contract, the form that was standardized for agency use made available and implemented by the tollway effective December 2011. The contracts that were tested in the audit were prior to that point, 2011 contracts, but prior to that implementation of the form, that form is now in use for all, not only the procurement type, but also engineering-based contracts. Key personnel and subcontractors in professional service contracts. The listing of key personnel on an engineering professional service contract, and the key positions that are listed by engineering versus the key positions submitted by proposers and ultimately making the final contract, what was that issue here? The tollway is documenting the specifics on who is considered a key employee number of employees going forward on PSBs, and it started back with May 2012's PSB. that there's clear identification. These are who we consider the key roles in a PSP contract, so that once the proposers and submitters submit that, their information and their exhibits, that those two match up. Further to that, or further on, documentation of selection process for professional service contracts, once again with engineering professional service selection, the process itself has been updated for the documentation of scoring upfront for statement of interest submissions, and then also the voting process to nominate the top selected firms, top three firms for every contract under review for PSP, and then if there's any ties, also further documentation by the meeting monitor of the resolution on the type of scoring process. For balance of year 2012, for our cycle audits, we've begun the majority of these audits to allow the team to go in the proper level of depth and provide a little bit more surety in not having to work with departments around Christmas time or middle of December to wrap up action plans, but to do this in a more timely manner. Administrative support services, budgeting, accounting and reporting, revenues and receivables, property equipment and inventories, EDP, electronic data processing, and grant administration. The revenues and receivables audit will be slightly expanded to include the billing process for tower co-location billing invoicing, and also as part of the EDP or IT audit, we'll review the backup process and disaster recovery process set up for our RIGHT system. Other engagements, we are working currently on selecting a vendor for an Oasis fuel audit for rental income verification, working with a process at the end of this year just to verify our leakage decrease, so the amount of shortage on cash collections or toll collections, violation collections, how we report it, and if there's any improvements that could be made in that process. This coming Monday, part of the team will participate in the annual warehouse inventory count. That's an annual occurrence. We perform our own independent count with that as well. And then also, balance of year, we'll perform our annual risk assessment starting in a couple of weeks here based on the results of the past 12 months and meetings and discussions with each of the department chiefs. And then also our two-year audit plan to be approved in December for the 2013 and 2014 timeframe. These are the members of the team. And actually, Cassandra Rouse, our IA manager, after my next slide, will present a couple of slides on PCI. And lastly, here was our audit schedule going into the beginning of 2012. Are there any questions?
I just thought, by looking at the findings, I saw that we didn't have any repeat findings from last year.
No, there were no findings per se last year. There were material findings, but no repeat for findings. Now, as far as the actual findings themselves from, let's say, 2 or 3 years ago, these were separate findings.
I think to the Auditor General's credit about with rotating the new external auditors, you get a new set of eyes looking at our information, and with the findings that are coming now, it just shows that the recommendation that they're making improves our internal controls even more. I think our internal controls are very strong, but the recommendations even improve it even further. And I think by us rotating the external auditors, this is the result of it. So I really appreciate that the Auditor General does take that into consideration about rotating external auditors, so we always have a different set of eyes looking at our books and records.
May I ask a question? And this may be better answered by Christy. I think I've asked this question before. It feels as if, at least for 75% of them, the ERP is going to provide a solution. Mike mentioned 2016 is when it will actually be implemented. Can you talk a little bit? I understand the RFI and the RFQ process. Why does it take so long after we've gotten that together?
Well, we would anticipate that this would be, you know, an ERP system can have many different components, many different modules. So there might be some that come online and are available sooner, but when we talk about a comprehensive implementation, and right now anticipating the most comprehensive, which is everything from financial systems to, you know, an HR personnel module, a procurement module, all the different modules, will take some time to implement. And then I think one of the challenges, as I understand it, frankly, from other implementations, is actually getting the people in the agency to use the ERP system. It's one issue because people have often developed their own ways of tracking, or, you know, their workarounds, their spreadsheets or what have you that they're comfortable with, so that will be an issue. So it's really, certainly we would anticipate some functionality, probably the most critical financial, for instance, functionality hopefully would be available sooner than that, but, you know, a comprehensive implementation given the RFI process. We talked about hopefully getting some kind of project management office on board by the end of the year, but then you'd actually have to go out and do the solicitation, you know, the system solicitation and all of, you know, the work of incorporating it. But I don't know if there were.
So, just one other follow-on question to that. Or was there something else that somebody wanted to say?
No.
When we go out with their RFP, would it be part of that for us to indicate which priorities we would want implemented in what order, so that when people came back with their responses, that would be built into their price? Or is there a standard way that they're always implemented regardless? You know, obviously for us, having these findings addressed as soon as possible
sure.
would be really important.
And we have come up with ways that we think we can try to continue to do you know, some additional workarounds or other things to try to control as much of, you know, these for these findings in the future as we can. But there's, I think, comes a point, we've had several discussions with the team from the Auditor General's Office and external auditors, that, you know, the critical thing for the tollway right now, given the revenues that we have, the transactions that we have, the level of activity in the ERP system, and we are certainly glad that it seems that, you know, CMS and the rest of the state are not, we're no longer getting the message back that we have to wait for everyone else to implement. We can move forward with our own implementation, but to the point of whether it would be incorporated in the RFP, the staging, or whether that's something we would decide after we procure a system, certainly we would prioritize anywhere that we had, you know, an audit finding
yeah.
or, you know, something like that. Of course, we would prioritize, I would hope, those modules first. So I don't know if you have anything else that you'd like to add.
Well, I would certainly stress that I think and emphasize the need to bring the financial systems on, the core kind of financial systems on first modules. And I think the expectation is that could be done prior to 2016, probably not earlier than maybe January of 2015. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. we'll have to have discussions with the respondents and so forth to know that. But I think the 2016 date was intended to reflect, as you discussed, you know, the full implementation of all of the modules.
And speaking from experience, we just finished a major ERP implementation at a community college, and it took us a year and a half just for all the committees to come together to see exactly what was needed in terms of the finances and records, and after that it was a two-year implementation by bringing modules aboard. And as Mike said, the very first module we did bring aboard was the finance module. And then from there, you know, we, of course, creating the chart of accounts through the general ledgers, and because everything has to feed into it eventually, but it has ended up being about a 3.5-year process from beginning to finish, and we're just finishing up right now after 3.5 years.
Well, it's great you've had the experience. You've become a real resource for us. As we start this, you can tell us pitfalls that you experienced, and maybe we can avoid some of those.
Right. Now, the biggest one is getting people that are accustomed to the new change, so making a lot of retirements now when it comes to
So ERP may stand for early retirement.
retirement.
Tom is nodding. He found that to be the case.
I just had one other observation. It's not a question, or maybe it is in part a question. I want to make sure that what we're seeing here are things that do not include fraud. And I mean, it looked to me when we've been through this audit that the things that a board fears the most but wants to be, you know, to have identified in an audit, we did not see as any part of the findings here. So I just want to confirm.
Yeah, well, as a CPA, in my review of it, I saw that there was no material misstatements of financial statements. And not mistaken.
Yeah, right. And the, you know, that's, again, a tribute to the administration and also to the outside auditors who helped confirm that we're doing it right. Fraud may have been the wrong word. We don't want to do misstatements which are inadvertent either, right? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
We go over our payment card history. We're bringing Cassandra up.
Yes.
She's already up.
I am up. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mike mentioned I'm here to present the tollways PCI assessment update. I'd like to start off by saying that a PCI assessment update is actually based upon the PCI data security standard, which pretty much follows a common sense approach that mirrors security best practices. They were pretty much developed to enhance cardholder data security and to facilitate broad adoption of consistent data security measures. The PCI data security standards assist the tollway specifically with providing an actionable framework for developing a robust payment card data security process, including prevention, detection, and appropriate reaction to security incidents. The size of your business pretty much determines the, and also the number of credit card transactions determines the specific compliance requirements that must be met. Within the past 12 months, the tollway has processed more than 6 million credit card transactions. And as a result of that level of activity, on May 30th, 2012, the tollway qualified as a level 1 merchant. As a tier 1 merchant, that means that the tollway is required to undergo a more in-depth annual security assessment in order to validate their compliance with the PCI standards. This year, in order to conduct our 2012 PCI assessment, the tollway engaged a QSA to perform the annual assessment of compliance. In addition to that, there were two internal audit staff that actually received certification. One was a recertification of their internal security assessor license, and one was an actual new certification that was obtained. The purpose of this was to assist with project managing the PCI assessment and partnering with the QSA that was brought on board to assist. Now, the assessment includes the following six domains as defined by the PCI Securities Council, which are actually aligned with 12 requirements for any business that stores, processes, and transmits a cardholder data. The six domains are often referred to as six goals, are build and maintain a secure network, protect the cardholder data, maintain a vulnerability management program, implement a strong access control measure, regularly monitor and test networks, and maintain an information security policy. The results of our PCI assessment for 2012 will actually provide the tollway with many solutions for enhancing the credit card processing systems, security controls, and controlling risk and addressing the inherent risk associated with the tollway. Are there any questions?
This is not the first time we've been certified as level one, is it?
Actually, it is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yes, as
so
of May 30th.
We were striving to be level one last year. I didn't remember that.
Right.
The level has to, well, the level has to do with the amount of transactions
right.
we process. So, you know, we were always compliant with PCI, but I think we were level two last year,
we
right?
Level
because
two
of
last
the level,
year.
The number of transactions, and now our transactions have.
Exactly. We have, based on the number of transactions in 20, you know, based, within the last 12 months, we keep that, hit that 6 million mark, which now qualifies as a tier one.
And so I'm non-competitive. But we were striving to be the whole one.
Sure, we're happy to have more transactions.
Okay.
All right. So, Cassandra, how long have you been with internal audit?
Since March of this year.
Good.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
If we next on the agenda, any additional items? I don't think we have any.
No, I just wanted to thank everybody, the tollway team, but also, you know, members of, you know, folks from the Auditor General's office, Tom Kaziah, and our outside auditors this year. I think everybody I know worked very hard on all of the audit activities, internal and external, and the PCI work, and I just really, you know, we've got a great team and great partners in making sure that we are making this agency the best that it can be. Absolutely. So I don't know if there were any other comments from you, Chair, or anybody.
No, I just wanted to say thank you to the Auditor General and the external auditors, but also to the administration. I've been involved with a lot of, you know, when the new external auditors come in, there's a lot of the changes and that you have to go through, and it's always the first year is the hardest year, and that, you know, everybody's got to be patient. And I think what all I heard back was nothing but positive feedback, that everything went very smooth with our new external auditors and our administration. I just want to thank both for the excellent job and staying on track and staying on the time frame that we needed to finish this up. So great job, guys. Anything else?
The reward is banana bed with raisins.
Yes. Hopefully that doesn't compromise your...
I think it'll be okay.
Our chair,
okay, good.
Our chair base thing. So, she's happy to share that.
And going to item number six, public comment. I believe we don't have any. At this time, I'd like to ask for a motion to adjourn.
I'll move it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.